Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good Thursday morning. I wanted to talk to you today about the words to the song, very familiar song. It was a hymn written in the 1800s, actually 1865. And they were the words to the hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers. This was a hymn written by a man named Sabine Baring Gould. And he wrote it for children to have a processional hymn as they marched out of Sunday school on a Monday, the day after Pentecost Sunday, in Yorkshire, England. And we're familiar with this hymn, but I wanted to read the words to it again because it is a great reminder to us that we're in the Lord's army. You know, that other children's song, I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We're to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand firm. And there all this imagery of the fact that we are soldiers. And the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Well, here are the words to Onward, Christian Soldiers. It says, Onward, Christian Soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Now remember, Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle that we have in the Christian life, not a physical one. And so when the song says, hey, march onward, Christian soldiers, it's talking about a spiritual fight and a spiritual battle. It says, at the sound of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. Oh, on then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided. All one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity, which is love. Crowns and thorns may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, which can never fail. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song, glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. And then the simple refrain, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Such great, great lyrics, and such a great reminder to us. You know, when we think about the Christian life, we think about the wonderful life we have in the Lord Jesus. He came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. The enemy of our souls, your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but we resist him firm in our faith. He comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. So I was talking to Willie Rice yesterday Willie Rice, who's the pastor of Calvary Church in Clearwater, Florida. We were talking about the Southern Baptist Convention and the new synod doc that came out saying that how the SBC got played, and we spent over $13 million of tithes and offerings to fight lawsuits, and it's just a disaster. And I asked him, I said, do you think this was masterminded? And I thought his answer was really poignant. He said, well, maybe not by men, but definitely by the devil. And the devil works to try and move things into the direction he wants it to go. Obviously, God allows it. No, the devil can't do anything unless God allows it. But as it says in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, 1 John 5:19 says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so he is working, and he's trying to squeeze the world into its mold. And one of the reasons that the devil hates Christians is because Christians oppose him. We are salt and we are light, and we stand against the schemes of the devil, and we are calling men to repentance. We're similar to Noah in the fact that we are pointing men to Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And we're telling people, listen, you know, the crowd is all going in one direction. Culture is going in one direction. What do Christians do? We stand up and we speak up for what is true and honorable and right. And we call men to repent, as John the Baptist preached, as Jesus preached, as the disciples preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, one of the passages I love is in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the man called by God to leave his post there in Persia, interesting, Iran, and go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And he had that on his heart. The wall had been down for decades and decades and decades and decades. And no wall, it means you can't have a city. You can't have really anything going. It's like having a house and you say, yeah, I don't have any doors on the house, so anybody and his dog can come in at any time. If you didn't have walls, you couldn't protect the city, so they had to rebuild the walls. The walls had been knocked down in 586 BC by the Babylonians, and he goes back over 100 years later and rebuilds the wall. I think it's 144 years. I need to do the math again, but something like that. And they rebuild the wall in 52 days. It was obviously a work of the Lord. But the enemies that were around Jerusalem, the Samaritans, Sanballat and Tobiah, they did not like the fact that Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. They made fun of them. They said, what are these feeble Jews doing? I mean, even if a fox jumps on that crummy little wall, they'll knock it down. And they got very angry that the wall started going up. Now, they're being energized by the devil, no doubt. And it says they conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. Nehemiah said, but we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there's much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. They were starting to lose steam. We can't do this. This is too hard. Our enemies said they will not know or see until we come against them and kill them and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. He said, then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places. I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. And when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Now listen to what he said, because this is a word for us for today. Do not be afraid of them, Nehemiah said. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight. fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Now, I love that. That's Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. I think that is such a word for us today. Now, they were talking about a physical fight because they thought enemies were going to come at them physically and they were going to have to stand up and fight. So they had their swords and spears and bows. We don't fight physically. We sing that song, "So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you." And so that's how we fight. We fight a spiritual battle. But we have to remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and we fight. And we remember what we are here for. That's to be His witnesses. That's our only purpose on this earth as Christians, is to be His witnesses. When Jesus in Acts chapter 1 was getting ready to ascend to heaven, the disciples said to Him, "Lord, is it this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Because they had such an understanding of the Messiah. That's what the Messiah does. He restores the kingdom to Israel. He sets up His kingdom. He rules and reigns from Jerusalem. And that is going to happen. And that's why Israel is very, very important in end times theology and in a person's eschatology. You can't just say Israel doesn't matter. Israel does matter. And so they were asking Jesus about that. And Jesus said, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses." Martus, we get martyr from that word witness. And the reason why those are connected is because so many witnesses were killed that we now know the word martyr to be somebody who dies for his faith. But what is a martyr? A martyr is a witness. What is our job on this earth? To witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell people about Jesus who's mighty to save, to warn people to flee from the wrath that is to come. Now, that's our job. And to stand up against immorality and insanity that comes into our country. We fight for our brothers, our sons, our daughters, our wives, and our houses. We fight for our land. As my friend Bishop Jackson says, listen, you would protect your home if invaders tried to come in. You would protect your family if people tried to come in and cause them harm. He said, well, I live in America. That's my home. And so we need to protect America, and we need to protect America from people coming in, as we've been seeing, you know, people that come into this country illegally and come in with the intent to do harm. You may have heard about Sheridan Gorman, an 18-year-old freshman at Loyola University. She was shot at 1:30 a.m. on Thursday, March 19th, by an illegal alien from Venezuela. Chicago had him in custody for shoplifting. And if they would have called ICE, ICE would have picked him up and deported him. But they don't work with ICE because they're a quote-unquote a sanctuary city. And so the guy got released back into the population. And then he kills this beautiful 18-year-old freshman at Loyola. It's just sick. And so we fight against that. That is immoral. That is insane. Why would we do this? You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that when people reject God, they don't see fit to acknowledge God any longer. They don't want to give Him honor. They don't want to give Him thanks. God gives them over first to sexual immorality, then to homosexual immorality, then to a reprobate mind, a mind that no longer functions. We have lots of people in government that have this mind that no longer functions. I mean, it can't add 2 + 2 morally. And so we have to stand up and fight for what is right. And obviously, it's not a political thing. It's a moral thing. We're wanting people not to vote a certain way as much as we want them to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, we don't want them to vote for insanity because that hurts everybody. But first and foremost, we want people to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap Weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
The term providence means God's superintending care over His creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing His will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
If you're new to the American Family Association, or if you've been with us for a while, it's easy to focus on the American Family part of our name and completely forget about the association part. AFA is more like a diamond with many facets that make up the whole. If you didn't know, this is our broadcast division, American Family Radio. We also have a national Christian news service, American Family News. And then there's our governmental affairs affiliate, AFA Action. But that's still not all. We've got a video streaming service, AFA Stream. 1 million moms defends our kids against exploitation in entertainment media. If you enjoy faith-based blogs, you'll love The Stand. And if you want to find great resources and gifts, there's the AFA Resource Center. After all that, there's still more. So stop by afa.net/connect and stay connected to help you and your family stay informed, equipped, and ready to take action. afa.net/connect.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about onward Christian soldiers. Suffer hardship with me, Paul told Timothy, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You're in the Lord's army the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and we are to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We're to remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what do? We put on the full armor of God, and we stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And we support the war effort, the spiritual war effort. And to help us understand how you can do that at American Family Association, I welcome to the program Chelsea Weilman. Chelsea is the Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Chelsea, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're coming on today to talk to us about this thing called a charitable annuity, charitable gift annuity. I don't know how many of our listeners know what that is, but sometimes when you put together these words in the financial realm, they can become confusing. So Chelsea, what is a charitable gift annuity?
Yes. So a charitable gift annuity is a gift from one of our listeners to American Family Association. And in exchange, they receive a fixed income for life. And that fixed income is dependent upon how old they are at the time that they give the gift and then when they start to receive those payments. And so they'll receive that fixed payment either monthly, quarterly, annually, or semi-annually, whatever works best for them. During their retirement years, they'll receive that for the rest of their life. And then upon their passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to AFA and AFR to continue our ministry's work for the Lord.
Okay, so Chelsea, what is a typical amount that somebody would give to an AFA gift annuity?
So really typical, it really ranges across the board according to that person's situation. So our minimum is $2,000. So again, $2,000 is the minimum. That's not going to yield you very much income, but we do have a lot of folks that put multiple $2,000 to $5,000 gift annuities in place. And then that kind of builds up a nice little nest egg for their retirement years. So that's the lowest amount, but then we have all the way up to, you know, 300,000. So, but there's not a cap, but I do believe that that's our highest CGA amount. But really anywhere in between, we have a lot of $10,000 gifts. We have a lot of $25,000 gifts. A lot of folks choose to send stock to fund a charitable gift annuity. So you can utilize that. Also cash, or there is an IRA to CGA rollover option that they can use qualified funds if you're 70 and a half or older. So that's a great way to use some qualified funds, but you can only roll that over from an IRA account.
So let me give you a scenario, Chelsea. So I send in, let's say I send in $10,000. Do I determine what you invest that in, or I just send that to you and you're going to invest it and say you're going to get X from that?
Yes. So once you send in your gift, we have a financial committee and a board of advisors that looks at all of our investments under the leadership of our CFO. So yes, once you give that gift, it is a gift to the ministry, but we do agree to pay you a certain amount for the rest of your life. You also do receive a partial tax deduction the year that you give the gift, as well as partial tax-free income when you start to receive those payments. And so those are some tax savings for you.
Okay, and then upon that person's death, then the remaining balance goes to American Family Association.
That's correct. Yes. So you're really helping to sow seeds into the ministry's future for years to come and for generations to come. It's a really wonderful financial planning tool for retirement years.
Yeah, that's great. Chelsea, when did this start with American Family Association?
Oh, me. It has been many, many years before my time. we've been in existence. Well, our ministry has been in existence since 1977, but the charitable gift annuity pool is a more recent, within the last 20 to 25 years, that we have put that in place. But we've really grown our CGA pool into a wonderful tool for the ministry for future projects.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, now you told me at the break that you have a new look.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about that.
So our website has a new look. It's fresh, current, easy to navigate. You can visit afafoundation.net to see our new website look. You can look at donor stories, kind of see why other people have put a charitable gift annuity in place with us. Read some of those stories. You can also look at ways to give. So charitable gift annuities, we take care of those in the foundation. Also, any bequests, we can help guide you toward a will guide. If you don't have a will in place, that is so very important, and we want to be a resource to help you put that in place. And then also, if you want to include AFA or AFR in any of your financial planning, estate planning, say maybe you have a life insurance policy or maybe just an account that you would like to, you know, carve out a portion, of course, for your loved ones, but also for causes that you love and support, we can help guide you through that as well.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been working with them, Chelsea?
Yes. So I'm going on, let's see, I think 12 years now. So I had to sit and think about it. but yes, about 12 years I've been at the foundation and love my job and love getting to work with our supporters every day.
Yeah. So do you field a lot of calls?
We do, yes. Actually, if anyone is interested that is listening to your program, they can give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. Our team at the AFA Foundation would love to speak with any of your listeners that are interested in sowing seeds into the ministry.
Yeah, very good. Well, I appreciate it so much. Hey, I got to say, I love the colors that you're wearing today.
Well, thank you so much.
It's so good.
It's spring, and I am ready for it.
Yes.
The weather is beautiful here in Mississippi.
Yeah, it's nice here in Texarkana, too. Well, Chelsea, thanks so much for coming on and for telling us about that charitable gift annuity. Let me encourage you, find out more, and you can go online or call. Give the number again, Chelsea.
Yes, afafoundation.net is our website, and our phone number, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
All right. Lots of numbers there. But do that and find out more about it. Doesn't mean you have to commit to it. But Chelsea would love to talk to you, and people in that department love to talk to you. And that's a great way. We're talking about being a Christian soldier, onward Christian soldiers. That's a great way, even after your death, to support the war effort, so to speak, as American Family Association stays true to the scripture and encourages and empowers people to stand up and fight for what is right, to fight, as Nehemiah said, fight for your brothers, your sons, your wives, your family, your children, and your homes. And that's the purpose of American Family Association, American Family Radio, to keep people informed of what's going on and to encourage Christians in the fight, because it is worth it. The battle belongs to the Lord, yes, but it's just like with Goliath. He was out there spouting off, and I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Nobody would fight him except David, young David, probably 15-year-old David. And he was the only one who had faith to fight him, and God gave him the victory. We have to get out on the battlefield. The battle is not won if we hide under our bed and worry and fret. The battle is won when we take a step of faith. We trust God, and we stand and fight. So thank you, Chelsea, for coming on today. Well, I ran across some more fraud in Minnesota. It's unbelievable. That state is just as Elon Musk said when they started to dig around in USAID. He said, this isn't an apple with a worm in it. The whole thing is a worm. Very little apple at all. It seems like that is what goes on in Minnesota. So this was the latest coming out of that state.
Who led these prosecutions for years stated that the estimated fraud is $9 billion. And this doesn't count fraud in SNAP or childcare programs. So where's the money going? Minnesotans pay their taxes, and they expect their money to go to things that help their communities, roads, schools, healthcare, and not to be taken by criminals to buy resorts in Kenya, apartments in Nairobi, property in Turkey, or luxury homes and cars in the U.S. Worse yet, Minnesota taxpayers have allegedly found their ways into the hands of terrorist organizations like Al-Shabaab, both directly and indirectly. The money is walking out the door at the Minnesota Minneapolis St. Paul Airport. Back in 2017, the estimate was about $100 million in cash was going out annually from our airport. According to TSA, in 2024, there were $340 million in cash outbound. And in 2025, it was $350 million. This is astonishing, not only because of the amount, but because of it is so out of proportion to other airports. The cash out of Minneapolis is 99% higher than cash going out of Dallas, Atlanta, and JFK in New York. It's 90% higher than what's going out of Seattle. Minnesotans are incredibly frustrated that their hard-earned money is being siphoned off by criminals while their taxes keep going up and vulnerable citizens don't get the services they need.
That was from Kristen Robbins. She's a candidate for governor of Minnesota. This is from Krista Knudsen. She was talking about new fraud in Minnesota.
I'm Minnesota State Representative Krista Knudsen. Every time we turn around, it's just more and more fraud scandals in our state. Today, in the fraud committee, the Department of Human Services testified that they haven't been tracking the IP addresses of money that's being literally flown out of our state and where it's going. They did turn on that reporting for 2 weeks and they found that, yes, a lot of those IP addresses were tied to overseas computers. And then they quickly shut it off after just 2 weeks of seeing where this money is actually going. It's crazy.
Unbelievable, the amount of fraud and waste and abuse and corruption just coming out of that one state. And Nick Shirley is doing, you know, he was the one that, the kid that kind of broke all that open in just a couple of days as he went to all those daycare centers and found out they're all a scam. And then now he's going to California. And who's opposing Nick Shirley? The governor, Governor Gavin Newsom. He thinks Nick Shirley is a bad guy. How dare you expose our fraud, waste, and abuse? So when we talk about fighting as Christians, we need to fight against those things. Because if America just implodes, that's not good for anybody. As Willie Rice and I were talking yesterday, the Southern Baptist Convention is important to America. It's important to the world. Why? Because it trains so many pastors and it has so much influence. It's the largest body of non-Catholic Christians in the world. And or in America anyway, and it makes a big difference. If it goes the way of other mainline denominations, the United Methodists and the Presbyterians, and it embraces egalitarianism, women pastors, and all the rest that goes along with that, if it goes the way of all the other denominations that embrace liberalism, then we lose our salt, we lose our light. And it would be a terrible, horrible thing. And there's lots of money tied up in buildings and properties and things like that in the Southern Baptist Convention. And so no doubt the devil is at work. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. You know, America as a nation, we have these people that are, you know, chastise Christians. Well, you guys need to be more charitable. You need to be more giving. We need to open up the borders. We need to feed all these people. Healthcare is a right, and food and clothing and all these things. We just give all this stuff away. Hey, we'd love to feed everybody. We'd love to clothe everybody. We'd love to house everybody, but we have limited resources to do that. And so just as an individual, you know, if you said, hey, it's on me to feed everyone in my town of 50,000 people, well, guess what? You go broke really fast because you can't afford to do that. And so your first responsibility, as the Bible makes clear, is to take care of your own family and to provide for your own. The Bible says if a man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. It's serious business when you don't take the responsibility that is yours. And as John Wooden so aptly pointed out, it is not good and not right. Do not do for someone else what they should be doing for themselves. That is enables that person to be a ne'er-do-well. That doesn't help them. That hurts them. So we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And we need to stand up and fight for what is right. And we need to shout it from the housetops that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. Onward, Christian soldiers. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. This is Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Give me a call and let's talk.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Satan wants to destroy God's sacred design for marriage and family. How do we defend them in this hostile culture? Activate Summit 2026 is July 16th through the 18th at the Cadence Bank Arena in Tupelo, Mississippi. And the focus this year is on God's plan for marriage and family. Speakers include Bert Harper.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Do y'all see the emphasis God puts on that?
Jeff Shreve.
The devil uses people as his pawns, so to speak.
Jessica Peck.
Stepping into their world, what they like, that's a great way to start.
And more. There's also Activate Kids, a separate track for children ages 6 to 12. And something new this year, get separate tickets for an exclusive meet and greet reception at AFA with the conference speakers on the evening of July 17th. Register now for Roots to Fruit. Grounded in truth, growing in grace. Visit afa.net/summit. afa.net/summit. Okay, here's an assignment for you, if you will. I want you to take some time and think about a getaway that gives you a chance to get together with other people of faith, deepen your walk with God, and make new friends, all while enjoying the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. I'm talking about joining AFA at the Ark, October 29th and 30th. This is a great opportunity to break away from the grind of everyday life and draw closer to God through special presentations from Patricia Engler and Brian Osborne of Answers in Genesis. It also includes entrance to the Creation Museum on Thursday and the Ark Encounter on Friday. Friday's dinner includes a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Wesley Wildman, Vice Presidents of American Family Association. This is an event that can fill up quickly, so hurry to afa.net/events to register for AFA at the Ark 2026. afa.net/events, and we'll see you at the Ark.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. This is the time we open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. As you heard during the break, the Activate Summit 2026 is coming July 16th through the 18th at Cadence Bank Conference Center in beautiful Tupelo, Mississippi. And Debbie and I are going to be a part of that. We're looking forward to it, looking forward to seeing lots of our friends in the AFA family and the AFR family. So you can find out more, register afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit. The conference is called Roots to Fruit, Grounded in Truth, Growing in Grace, and it's for the whole family. I'm going to be talking about marriage and family. Jessica Peck is going to be talking about AI and the good and the bad with AI, you know, just like technology. Technology can be good and it can be bad. It can be used for good or used for bad. We need to be careful with it, just like a gun. You know, a gun can be used for good or it can be used for evil, and you have to be careful with it. Well, as we talk about being a soldier in this world for Christ, and we want to be ready to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, we know that the world is not going to like what we have to say. When we really do the job, so to speak, to be faithful to the Lord, to be salt and light in a lost and dying world, what does light do to people in the darkness? You've had the experience, I've had the experience of, you know, somebody flipping on the lights in the middle of the night, and your room is very, very dark, and all of a sudden, boom, there's just bright light that comes. It hurts your eyes. We've had the experience, perhaps, of having a cut and being in salt water. What does salt do to a wound? It burns in a wound. And Jesus said we are to be salt and light. Now, the world doesn't like that. The world loves the darkness. Jesus said this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And so our faithfulness to Jesus is going to create a problem in the world. The world is not going to love us. The world is going to hate us. Now, there are going to be many that respond to the message, respond positively and say, hey, I see that you're genuine. I see, you know, the Lord in you. I want what you have. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, that's the fruit of the Spirit. When people see the fruit of the Spirit, many say that's what I want for my life. But then many others, they come against that. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us that people will be shocked because we don't participate in the same things they participate in. They're surprised, and they will malign you for your faith in Christ. And Jesus said, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Jesus is love personified, love in the flesh. And what did they do? They nailed him to a tree, because the world hates the truth. And as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Surely that is our job, to speak the truth in love, and we let the chips fall where they may. Some will respond and some will get mad, but so be it. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Greg on the line from Montana. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I was telling your screener, I was kind of fudging here a little bit to pick your brain on some scriptures. I drive truck most of the day, and I don't have time to go through the scriptures. We're meeting with our pastor in a couple of days to talk to him about the importance of voting. The midterms are coming up.
Yes.
And I was wondering if I could pick your brain for a few scriptures that I might be able to share with him.
Yes. Okay. Let me give you this one. Let me look it up to make sure I got the reference. So when Jesus was asked about, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? You know, that famous passage. So that's Matthew chapter 22. And he said, you know, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. Well, Caesar was their government. He represented their
right.
government. And so our Caesar is our form of government, our republic. And what does the republic demand from its people? Voting, participation. And so When you look at it that way, it's like, I mean, that's what all the ads are there for during election time. It's, hey, vote for me. This is what I stand for. And so they want your vote. So if we render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, we're going to participate and we're going to vote. The other scripture I would encourage you with is in Jeremiah 29. Let me find it here. There we go. 29, where there Jeremiah is talking to the exiles that have been taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. And he says to them in verse 5, build houses and live in them and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. And this is the key verse, verse 7 of Jeremiah chapter 29. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. And so, Greg, I think it's just like what Bishop Jackson said. We live here in America, and we want what is good for the land and what is good for the inhabitants of the land. And if we let, you know, the famous saying, all that's required for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And so good right. people and God's people need to, we need to vote. We need to know the issues. We need to know what the candidates stand for. And then we need to show up and vote. Because if we don't, then you just flood the decks with people that they don't follow God. They don't follow the scripture. They're not interested in honoring God. And so then we get what yep. we get.
Yeah, that's so true. I read a brief thing on Google the other day. I think the professor's name is Mullen down at Arizona Christian University. And he said that Christian people are looking to be guided on and encouraged to vote. They don't want to be told who to vote for, mm-hmm. but they want to be told the importance of voting. And I know a couple of pastors that just won't touch it because they're afraid it'll just prune the flock down so much.
But yeah, anyway. You know, I just don't get that. It's so important. And guys that just, you know, they're like, well, I'm not called to do anything like that. You know, We're not called to be political, but politics has entered into the realm of morality, and they're pushing morality in the, you know, the cities and the states and then the nation, and we need to stand up for what is right. And so we cannot support. I put this on Facebook just the other day, Greg. It was the quote from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas, and she said, the battle in this country is no longer between the left versus the right. It's between the normal versus the crazy. And we can't keep voting for crazy. And here's what I put. I said, sadly, many people who would be rightly considered normal, quote unquote, continue to vote for the political party that supports crazy. Trans insanity, sexually grooming, poisoning children, no voter ID laws, the LGBTQIA plus agenda, illegal immigrants before American citizens, unjust judges who consistently release criminals, Palestine over Israel, the Islamification of America, democratic socialism, which is just another name for communism, fraud, waste, and abuse, national and international decisions that weaken our country, fiscal irresponsibility, open borders. You can't vote for that stuff. You can't vote for people that want that, and they're going to fight for that because that is right. like voting for your own suicide. That is just wow. insane. Well, I hope that goes well. When are you meeting with him, Greg?
We're meeting with him the next week, and I picked up a book called One Vote by Ben Carson. Unfortunately, it's out of print, but that kind of was the impetus to drag him in and say, hey, we need to talk to the church about voting. And we pushed on him in the last election to do something about telling the church about the abortion issue. And in Montana, unfortunately, we had CI 128 that came up. And they lied and said abortion was illegal in Montana. And now that is part of the Constitution, and people have the right to, abortion can be just rampant in this state because of what the left did to us. And we just didn't get our ducks in a row quick enough to fight that initiative. But
let me encourage you, Greg, if you can get the book by William Federer, Silence Equals Consent, or you can listen to it. I did a program with Bill not too long ago about that subject, about his book, Silence Equals Consent. And it's all about, he goes through the history of the church and in America as it relates to their emphasis from the pulpit on voting and knowing issues and things like that. And so just like at a wedding, you know, if somebody knows why these two shouldn't get married, and let them speak now or forever hold his peace. And he says silence equals consent. And so we cannot be silent from the pulpit on these issues that affect people's lives so greatly and affect the moral fabric of our nation, because you can't keep taking blow after blow after blow morally without the fabric completely being destroyed. And that's the fight we're in today. So I appreciate that, brother. God bless you as you talk to him. And let me just encourage you with this. Always give him the benefit of the doubt. Come before him, not like he's a bad guy, like he's a good guy. You're on his side, you're on his team, and you're just, you're wanting to be a support to him because you think this is very, very important. Because if he senses you're coming at him, he'll be defensive, and so then you won't get much done.
Wow. Thank you.
All right, brother. God bless you.
All right. Thanks.
We have Mark on the line from Virginia. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I was listening to you talking about Nehemiah. And, yes, we need to be in prayer daily. But we also, Nehemiah did, we also need to keep our swords and bows close to us to protect us from the physical evil that may be thrown upon us. And too often we want to howl to all the stuff that's going around us rather than stand up. And related to your first caller, my pastor had a really good thing. He's been going through God First. It's a book that he wrote. Anyways, he said, when it came to the Bible, he said, you need to reflect everything that goes on in society, not based on your feelings or your thoughts, but reflect it against what the Bible says is true.
Right.
And too often, people don't do that.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so I said last night as I was preaching on 1 Peter chapter 4, truth is not what you think, it's not what you feel, it's not what you want it to be. Truth is what God says. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith in the truth of God. Jesus prayed his great high priestly prayer, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so there's truth, and then there are the devil's lies. And the devil is a master at getting us to believe a lie, thinking it is true. So you have all these issues in our nation today. You just think of transgenderism. Well, people think it is true that a person can be a different gender than his biological sex. Well, that's a lie. You are who God made you to be. And I have stated numerous times from the pulpit and from the microphone here that the quicker you yield to God in the way he made you, the quicker you'll be able to experience his peace in life. If you keep fighting God in the very basic of how he made you, and you say to God, basically, you're not going to tell me who I am, I'm going to tell you who I am, you're just going to have turmoil in your life because your heart is raging against the Lord. When we yield to the Lord and submit to the Lord and say, Lord, your ways are right concerning everything, then we can experience His peace, because He's the Creator. He made us. And so we don't fight Him. We yield to Him. And that's how life can be wonderful. Well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Onward, Christian soldiers, and may God use you for His glory. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.